This morning's books is one of my all-time favorite picture books by one of my all-time favorite picture book authors. I haven't met him yet. I'm hoping to someday. This one is called Extra Yarn by Mac Barnett. On a cold afternoon in a cold little town, where everywhere you looked was either the white of snow or the black of soot from chimneys, Annabelle found a box filled with yarn of every color. So she went home and knit herself a sweater. And when Annabelle was done, she had some extra yarn. So she knit a sweater for Mars, her dog. But there was still extra yarn. And when Annabelle and Mars went for a walk, Nate pointed and laughed and said, "You two look ridiculous." "You're just jealous," said Annabelle. "No, I'm not," said Nate. But it turned out he was. And even after she'd made a sweater for Nate and his dog, and for herself and for Mars, she still had extra yarn. At school, Annabelle's classmates could not stop talking about her sweater. "Quiet," shouted Mr. Norman. "Quiet, everyone. Annabelle, that sweater of yours is a terrible distraction. I cannot teach with everyone turning around to look at you." "Then I'll knit one for everyone," Annabelle said, "so they won't have to turn around." "Impossible," said Mr. Norman. "You can't." But it turned out she could. And she did, even for Mr. Norman. And when she was done, Annabelle still had extra yarn. So she knit sweaters for her mom and dad, and for Mr. Pendleton, and Mrs. Pendleton, and for Dr. Palmer, and for little Louie. She made sweaters for everyone. Except Mr. Crabtree, who never wore sweaters or even long pants, and who would stand in his shorts with the snow up to his knees. "No sweater for me, thanks," said Mr. Crabtree. So she made Mr. Crabtree a hat. And even then, Annabelle still had extra yarn. She made sweaters for all the dogs and all the cats and for other animals, too. Soon, people thought, soon Annabelle will run out of yarn. But it turned out she didn't. So Annabelle made sweaters for things that didn't even wear sweaters, like the houses and the mailboxes. Things began to change in that little town. News spread of this remarkable girl who never ran out of yarn. And people came to visit from around the world to see all the sweaters and to shake Annabelle's hand. One day, an archduke who was very fond of clothes sailed across the sea and demanded to see Annabelle. "Little girl," said the archduke, "I would like to buy that miraculous box of yarn, and I am willing to offer you $1,000,000. "No, thank you," said Annabelle, who was knitting a sweater for a pickup truck. The archduke's mustache twitched. $2 million, he said. Annabelle shook her head. "No thanks." $10 million, shouted the archduke. "Take it or leave it." "Leave it," said Annabelle. "I won't sell the yarn." And she didn't. So that night, the archduke hired 3 robbers to break into Annabelle's house, and they stole the box and took it to the archduke, who set off across the snow and sailed over the sea. Back to his castle. The archduke put on his favorite song and sat in his best chair. Then he took out the box, and he lifted the lid, and he looked inside. "The box is empty." Show you guys that picture. His mustache quivered, it shivered, it trembled. The archduke hurled the box out the window and shouted, "Little girl, I curse you with my family's curse. You will never be happy again. But it turned out she was. The end.
From Matthew, the words of Jesus. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, do not resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give him your cloak also. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, friends. It's nice to be with you. Before we jump into the sermon, I do want to thank two people, Wendy and Cassie, for jumping in this morning. Amy was here this morning, and I've been under the weather this week and felt it was best to just keep all of you healthy, and so she went home a little early today. So thanks for Cassie. Cassie's more like triple duty today, I think, in the choir and reading our book and helping us a liturgist this morning. So thank you to them. I want to, as we've sat going through this children's book series, I've been struck by something. One is that I don't read very interesting books. I have no pictures or color in the books that I read. They're pretty much black and white. And so I've really enjoyed how much fun these books are. But I think what I also found that's something I enjoy is how simple and clear some of these books are, right? They make the point, not hard to get. They get right at it. And I don't think that means they're any less important, but they have a way of making it all a little less difficult. And personally, I like that because in my life, if I'm being honest, I have a tendency to overcomplicate things. Maybe you guys are the same way. But I find ways, it seems, to make the little things harder than they have to be. I'll give you a brief story, just an example of that. I do this thing at the grocery store. Maybe you guys are the same way. When I go, I want the closest parking spot to the entrance. You know, it's not like I'm not able to walk there. But what happens is I will look down the aisle, right, and try to see where that open spot is. And sometimes this works out okay. I save a little steps. But what really makes Jess mad is those occasional times when there is no open spot and I end up going in the parking lot 3, 4, 5 times looking to get that closest spot. And it's those times I realized, wow, I made it way more difficult than it had to be had I just parked and walked inside. But my guess is this overcomplication is not just something we do in the small things, right? We have a way of overcomplicating life, and I think we can sometimes overcomplicate our faith. We sat in Sunday school this morning having this deep question, and we're debating about Paul's incredible metaphors, and they're rich, they're beautiful. But sometimes I think we just make it harder than it has to be. And that's why I like these children's stories. They're simple, they're to the point, they make it nice and clear. I remember in seminary, I would ask myself as I'm going through some of these classes, I think, man, this is so difficult. Why does it have to be this hard? And I love these children's stories because they simplify it for us. But really, Jesus tells us it doesn't have to be that complex, right? You remember Jesus says that all the commandments can be summed up in just two. One is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and the other is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's not that difficult, is it? And so as we've been reading these children's books, I like how the characters make it simple. See, as I think of today's story, we might describe Annabelle in a certain way, right? She's someone who we might say in the church with our fancy words, she's an extravagant giver, right? She knew the value of generosity. We might say that. But I think it's simple. Annabelle knew how to share, right? That's a good little kid word. She was good at sharing. She did it well. And like in the book, she has all these hurdles that come up, right? But she shows us, even in the midst of these hurdles, it's not that difficult. Some people come up and warn her that she's going to run out of yarn. Others are jealous of her sweaters. Others think that her sweaters are a distraction. And if we remember, at the end of the story, the Archduke even tries to get the box for himself. But in spite of all these barriers, these difficulties, Annabelle simply shares with everyone she meets, no expectations and no limitations. And so as I think about our scripture this morning, I hear Jesus calling us to something similar, to practice sharing in simple ways in our life. He doesn't use complex words, right? What Mike read for us was pretty simple. We hear a command as simple as, give to everyone who begs from you. That's straightforward. That's simple. It's super clear. He says, do not refuse for anyone who wants to borrow from you. Simple. Straightforward. This is the life we're called to, right? Sharing doesn't have to be that difficult. And so what I thought we could do this morning is we could look at Annabelle. Since she's such this great example of what it means like to share, we can maybe learn something from her. All right? Now, one of my favorite parts of the book is when she meets Mr. Crabtree. Mr. Crabtree, as the story goes, didn't want a sweater, right? It says, Annabelle made sweaters for everyone except for Mr. Crabtree, who never wore sweaters or even long pants, and would stand in his shorts with the snow up to his knees. No sweater for me, thanks, said Mr. Crabtree. So Annabelle made Mr. Crabtree a hat. I like that, because Annabelle's going around making all these sweaters for all these people, and someone different comes along. What does she do? Does she say, you have to take the sweater, that's what I'm making, you take it or leave it, like the Archduke said? No. She accepts Mr. Crabtree for who he is and offers something different and still finds a way to share that gift with him. Annabelle makes these sweaters for all types of people. There are people of different sizes, of big and small. There's different animals, even for pickup trucks, as we find out. Annabelle finds a way to simply share her gift. But I think in our life, at least I do this sometimes, I have expectations around who I share with and how I share or how I give, right? If we give a gift, we expect to get maybe a thank you note, right? We have expectations or standards, or I don't know if anybody else wrestles with this, but I get so stressed out around birthdays or holidays or Christmas time. How much of a gift do you get to someone, right? I always stand at the checkout and say, is this a $35 gift card purchase or a $30 one, right? We have these expectations around how we give and how we share. We make it so difficult. But Annabelle just accepts Mr. Crabtree for who he is. Makes my hat and said, doesn't let anything get in the way. And in Matthew, I hear Jesus saying the same thing. He says, give to everyone who begs from you. What Jesus doesn't say is give to those who are poor enough. He doesn't say give to those who can help you in return, or give to those who will write you a proper thank you. No stipulations, no criteria that need to be met. It's simpler. Jesus says, give to those who ask of you. I think Annabelle shows us what that looks like. Again, giving to so many people of different sizes and shapes and accepting them for who and what they are and simply offering them her gift. Now, if you think back to the story, not everybody thought this was a good idea, right? They pushed back against her giving these gifts away, these sweaters and her yarn, and they kept having this same concern. Eventually, the yarn will run out, right? They were worried. If you remember Mr. Norman's class, right? Annabelle said, well, I will just knit a sweater for the entire class. Don't worry about it. And Mr. Norman said, impossible. You can't. But yet the story tells us that she did. And after knitting sweaters for the animals, we find out that some people were once again worried that she was going to run out of yarn. And again, the story tells us she didn't run out. See, these townspeople were so worried. They were saying, It's scarce. It's not going to be enough. You're going to run out. But what I love about Annabelle is that thought never crosses her mind. She never lets it be a barrier to sharing her gift, to offering something incredible to the people, the animal, the pickup trucks she encounters. Right? She's not worried about there not being enough. I think we can learn from that as well. See, we as Christians say we have a God who is generous, who is abundant. But sometimes I think we end up kind of like those townspeople. I think that sometimes. I know this world is finite. There are only so many things. And so I worry. I get concerned. I say, well, what if there's not enough? What if we don't have enough for everyone? Should we just not give at all? But we see in Scripture a God who consistently shows us there's always enough. There's no reason to be concerned about running out. Let me give you a couple examples from Scripture. You guys remember the story of Joseph? There's going to be this 7-year-long drought. But yet God uses Joseph to prepare the people, to save up food so that they will have plenty through those 7 long years. You think back to the Israelites wandering in the desert, right? Every single day, God provided enough manna and encouraged them not to save any more for tomorrow. And even after a long day of preaching to the crowd, Jesus shows how 5 loaves and 2 fishes can feed 5,000 people. I think we can learn something from Annabelle that we don't need to get concerned about running out. We have a God who is consistently providing for us, who's consistently caring for us. And I think this gets to the heart of what's going on in Matthew chapter 5 today. You know, we might be concerned, right, like the townspeople, that if we give to those who ask, if we let those people borrow who need to borrow, that we'll be broke by the end of the month, right? But God is still saying, don't worry about that. It's simple. Give to those who ask. But I think Matthew 5 is not about just following commandments. It's Jesus inviting us into something greater, a life shaped by sharing. That when people need grace, we offer grace. When someone hurts us, we offer them forgiveness. We don't hold it against them. When someone thinks that we've wronged them, we give. If someone asks for your coat, then give them your cloak also. Give to those who ask, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow. Jesus is inviting us into this life shaped by sharing, as a guiding way of how we can see the world. I want to share with you a story, I think, of how sometimes we can incorporate this, right? It's easy to think about how we share our things, but sharing grace and forgiveness and love, those are harder to do, right? Even though we say it's simple. There's a story that goes about a lady who is getting at the airport and her flight has been delayed. And so suddenly having a lot of extra time on her hands, she decides that she's going to look around to find something to eat. And she sees a vendor who sells desserts. So she goes to the vendor and she buys herself a little bag of cookies. After getting the cookies, she goes to a chair and sits down. She's getting all her luggage situated, her purse and all of her belongings. And finally, after she's sat down and gotten ready, she reaches into the bag of cookies, pulls one out, and enjoys one. Well, surprisingly, there's a man just another chair over, and he does the exact same thing. He reaches in to the woman's bag of cookies, pulls one out, and eats it. Doesn't say a word, doesn't ask, and the woman was in disbelief. How could someone do this? How could they take something that didn't belong to them without asking? She was confused, a little puzzled and upset, but she chose not to say anything. She sat there in silence. But then a thought came to her head. She said, here's how I'll show the man these are not his cookies. As she goes, she's going to take another one, and she does it quite emphatically, right? Makes a big show of it, grabs a second cookie, and begins to eat it. Again, doesn't say a word. But not long after, the man once again reaches over to the bag of cookies, pulls one out, and eats a second one. Now, at this point, she's furious. She's upset. She can't even wrap her mind around it. How could someone take her cookies without asking? Again, she doesn't say a word. She just sits there fuming. And at this point, there's only one cookie left in the bag. And unfortunately for her, before she could reach in and grab the last one, the man beats her to it. Reaches his hand in, grabs the cookie, but he does something different this time. He breaks it and offers half to her, and he keeps the other half. Sort of sweet, but still confusing to her at the time because, again, they were not his cookies. And so time goes by and they don't say a word. The man gets up to go get on his flight. The woman waits for her delay to be over, and she goes and boards her own flight. She gets into her chair, and she's sitting down, waiting for the flight to commence, and she goes to her purse to pull out a really good book she had prepared to bring with her to read. And as she opened the purse, she was dumbfounded to see inside her bag of cookies, unopened, uneaten, completely full. She was horrified and embarrassed to find that she had eaten half of the other man's cookies without saying a word. Now, I like this story, right? Because it shows us how sharing can be more than just offering our things, right? When she wanted to be upset and angry, he showed what it was like to offer grace, right? He showed what it was like to share the small joys with someone else who he didn't even know. And I think Annabelle shows this to us. And Matthew 5 is encouraging us to step into a life this way that is marked and oriented around sharing. And it's sharing grace, sharing forgiveness, sharing our time, sharing our talents, sharing the things we hold dear. We don't have to worry about running out. We don't have to set our own expectations or stipulations or standards or criteria. But we can have a life shaped by sharing with others. Before I close, I want to offer you one more bit from the book. At the end of the story, Annabelle had knitted so many sweaters, right? For all the people, for all the animals, for all the houses even. And if you saw the picture, the town had changed. It was no longer this black and white, drab place. It was this colorful, beautiful town. And the storybook itself says, soon things began to change in that little town. And all of it was because of the actions of this little girl who saw sharing as a way of living and just giving without hesitation. Sharing what made her happy with so many around her. And so my final thought for you, friends, is how might we, by shaping our lives more around sharing, find a way to change this little town of ours. Will you pray with me? God, we come and we recognize that we are so richly blessed. The food on our tables, the roof over our head, the family and the friends we spend time with. All of it we recognize comes from you. Yet sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't want to share. Sometimes we feel selfish or greedy. And so we come as your people asking you to change us, to shape us to be more like Annabelle, so that we can come to share with so many in this world. In your name we pray. Amen.